Our topic is light and darkness as they play in the soul print world. I'm not going to talk about soul prints tonight. Those of you who've been with us on this journey have a sense of what it is. You don't need it for tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll kind of bring it all back together to soul prints. The most famous Sufi story that appears in virtually every Sufi tradition is that of the young novice searching for the keys to the kingdom. And he searches for the keys to the kingdom every place he can, especially in one particular part of the street, which has excellent and wonderful medieval lamps. And he searches and he searches and he looks, you know, in this part of the lamp and near that lamp and the periphery of the light and in the center of the light. And the master says to him, "You don't seem to be finding the key, right? Why are you looking here? Did you lose it here?" He says, "No, I lost it over there." "So why are you looking here?" "Because over there it's dark, here it's light." It's not easy to look in the dark. We do everything we can to avoid it. And yet, on some elemental level, the keys to the kingdom are only found when we're willing to look deeply in the darkness. We talked in our fifth meeting about the storytelling ritual of spring. Pesach. Pe, the mouth, sach, that speaks and tells story. Pesach, the time in which we re-narrate the stories of our lives. We retell our stories, and in the retelling, we gather up, we reclaim the pieces of our lives that we've left behind. We saw a stunning image from 19th century mysticism, which depicts the divine God force walking behind us through the year and collecting the pieces of our story that we edit out of our book of life. Right? And you know what I mean, right? A marriage that didn't work, a business that failed, a relationship that collapsed. We edit them out of our stories. We become forgers and plagiarizers. And so one evening a year, in this grand biblical, mystical, spiritual exercise, we retell our stories. We re-narrate our stories. We move from our Mitzrayim, in Hebrew, our narrowness, to our Merchavim, to our wide places. And we reclaim our stories. We begin to live in the narrative that is our lives. We begin to let go of the pseudo-stories, the false stories, right? The imposter images that we've created and forged in order to somehow navigate this world. Now, the storytelling ritual, the Pesach, right, the time in which we tell the mouth that speaks story, is preceded in mystical tradition the evening before. What do? The evening before the storytelling ritual, we shut all the lights of the house and we do a search in the darkness. And we leave 10 crumbs of bread in a Kabbalistic mystical ceremony developed in the 16th century in Safed. We leave 10 pieces of bread around the house. The house is absolutely dark. We don't use a flashlight. We don't use a torch. We use only a single candle. And we search the nooks and crannies and the crevices of the house, the bayit, ashrei, yoshvei veitecha, the home, that is to say, the inner psyche of the soul. And we search for that which has gotten lost. We search for the pieces of our identity that we've left behind and excised from our book of life. That is to say, biblical mysticism insists that before the storytelling ritual, we be willing to search in the darkness. And this evening, we're going to talk about the darkness. We're going to talk about shadow. We're going to talk about the primal passions and forces that we so often ignore. We're going to talk about the trickster in us and the thief in us that we so often write out of our stories as we recast ourselves in far more polite and appropriate persona. I'll tell you a story. It's a story night. A story about Moishele the Ganav, Moishele the Holy Thief. And it's a story that in the third generation of the Hasidic movement was told by Ephraim of Sudako, right, the grandson of the holy master, founder of the Hasidic movement, the Baal Shem Tov. And it goes like this. Moishele the Ganav was a very, very talented thief. He wasn't white collar, right? He was blue collar. He was a blue collar thief. Right? White collar thievery is a whole other kind of story, which we'll talk about at a different time. So he was a simple kind of blue collar guy, and he had a very good system. See, he would steal something, and then when the police were after him, he would run to the master of the good name, the holy Baal Shem, right, the holy Rebbe, the holy master, and he'd say, Rebbe, Rebbe, I just stole something. I need a blessing so the police won't find me. Right? And the Baal Shem would give him a blessing, and the police wouldn't find him. So one day he decides, a little bit before the holiday of the biblical holiday of Shavuot, the festival of weeks, he decides he's going to pull off his biggest heist, major theft. Right? No more of this kind of petty stuff, grand larceny coming down. Moshiach, the holy Ganef, right, is coming at you in this story. So he pulls it off, and the police are after him. And of course, he's never too careful because he always knows he's going to get a blessing, right, from the Baal Shem, from the master of the good name. So he runs to the Baal Shem's Beit Midrash, and the police are almost in hot pursuit. He bursts into the Beit Midrash, the study hall of the Baal Shem, the master. He says, where's the master? I need a blessing quickly. And they say, the master died. Didn't you hear? The master went up to the next world. And he's aghast. The master died. Doesn't he understand? Does he have a successor? Is there anyone I can talk to? So they say, you see, they're studying in the corner of the study hall. There's Jacob Joseph of Polnoy. He will be his successor. If you need something, ask him. So he goes to Yaakov Yosef, to Jacob Joseph. He says, Ech gevena brocha, right? Give me a blessing. And Jacob Joseph says, I'll be glad to. Why do you need a blessing? It's because I just stole a lot of money and the police are after me. I need a blessing. You complete lout and throws him out, right, for his total absolute chutzpah. He doesn't know what to do, right? Doesn't know what to do. Is there anybody else? Maybe, and he hears that the Baal Shem Tov has a grandson. Maybe he can find him. He doesn't know where he lives. And the police are in hot pursuit, and he just falls asleep like late at night, can't find his way, streaming tears all over his face and clothes, and he has a dream. And in the dream, the Baal Shem Tov comes, the master comes, and gives him directions to the house of his grandson and tells him, go to my grandson and tell him he's been appointed the Rebbe of Ganavim. He's been appointed the Rebbe of Thieves, and if he doesn't believe you, I'm going to teach you a passage from the Zohar, the major book of Hebrew mystical tradition, and I will teach you the interpretation that is used to explain this verse in heaven, when the Zohar studied in heaven. And when he hears that, my grandson will know that indeed you come from me, and he will accept the mantle of being the Rebbe of Thieves, the master of thieves. And so he comes to the Degel Machne Ephraim, was the name of the master, right? The holy Ephraim of Sudako. He says, give me a blessing. He says, for what? He says, for my thievery. He's about to throw him out. He says, before you throw me out, let me tell you how in heaven this week they interpret, right, the passage of Zohar. And of course, this coming from the mouth of the thief seems kind of incredible, so he stops for a moment, and before he can actually throw him out, right, the thief spills out the interpretation on high of this particular passage of Zohar. And Ephraim of Sudako is completely amazed, and he says, how could you have heard this? Only my grandfather could hear this kind of interpretation. Indeed, Moshiach says, I've come from your grandfather, and he's appointed you to take his position to be the Rebbe of Thieves. And Ephraim of Sudaka, tears streaming down his face, says, thank you for the holy honor, and gives the thief, mamash, the holiest blessing in the world. And the blessing was so deep, it was so powerful, it was so holy, that they say that that thief, after a few more heists, right, decided to give it up and became one of the great Hasidic masters of his generation. What's it about? What's it about? What does it mean? What is a Rebbe of Thieves? The essence of the Kabbalistic tradition is captured in the notion that Chassidut, that the Baal Shem Tov, that the Zohar, is in some profound, essential way about being the spirituality of Ganavim, the spirituality of thieves, the spirituality of shadow, the spirituality of the dark side. It's about engaging in some profound and real way the energy of darkness, right? The energy of the trickster, the energy of the ganef, the energy of the thief. And the truth is, between us, we all have a little Moshiach of the ganef, a little Moshiach of the thief, somewhere packed inside of us, and we hide him away very carefully. But actually, this evening, we're going to want to engage him in dialogue.